For those of y'all that's heard me before very much, you know that this is one of my favorite passages in the whole Bible, simply because it has ministered to me when I was young and really dumb, and it still ministers to me now that I'm older and even dumber. And the enemy always wants to drag us off into a black hole of stupid, of arguing over things that we don't know anything about, you know. And if there's not a time in history that that's not what's going on, there's never been such a time. This whole coronavirus thing, I'm pretty much convinced that nobody has a clue, one way or the other. And they've muddied the water so much that we don't know what to believe anymore about it. Wear a mask, don't wear a mask. Social distance, don't social distance. Go outside, don't go outside. And because they change it every few days, what we're supposed to do and act and all. And we can get so tied up into that kind of nonsense of arguing about it. And I've been told by a couple people about some things that are being put on Facebook by people about masks, vaccines, and all this other kind of stuff. God bless me that I had a moment of inspiration a couple of years ago now and got off of Facebook, took Facebook off all my devices, because I'm just not whatever to be able to be on Facebook without hurting myself or somebody else. Okay? But we bring drug off into these endless discussions about stuff that really doesn't matter that much, you know. Father Ralph Tallier, one of my friends and heroes, had a meeting before he died, asked Bishop if he could meet with all the guys that were fixing to be ordained as deacons and all. And so they went to Ralph and Linda's house and had a meeting and all. And so Father Ralph said, well, this is all I've got to really say to you. Do what you're told and don't complain. That was it. You know, Bishop asked him, he said, you're not going to say nothing? He said, nope, that's it. What a great word for all of us. It's just simply do, you know, kind of, if we're told very specifically by authorities, whether it's authorities in our church or authorities above us, just do those things. Don't complain if they're not causing you to sin or commit heresy, you know. Just, it's not that big a deal. It's real simple. Father Bob has done a lot of things because he was told. I don't know how much he didn't complain about them, because that is one of the few rights that the military lets guys have, is to complain somewhat. No point. Right. The complaining is no point. That's the deal. You know. As I grew up working, I used to always figure that I was a whole lot smarter than any of my bosses, because I thought that, you know, these guys make some of the dumbest decisions in the world. If it was me, how many of you have ever heard that in your ear? If it was me, right? Oh, okay, come on. Be honest. We all hear that. We all hear that every day. I still hear that in my ear, and I know better. But what I found out is, as I grew with knowledge in the workforce and became a foreman and then became a superintendent and then become the guy kind of running a company for another guy, what I found out was that as a guy that was just doing the work, that I didn't have all the information. And that as I moved up in a company and having more responsibilities, I got more information and having to make decisions based off of this information that guys working under me didn't have. And all. And I learned, like, maybe my bosses were a lot smarter than I ever gave them credit for. You know? And that's the way it is with us, really, in our Christian life. We let the enemy drag us off into crazy discussions. Now, some good discussions are good. If you're called to be a theologian, and God's given you that nature of being a theologian and that kind of a person, you're very academic, and you love to study the Word, and you love to take the words all apart and put them back together and and all that Greek and Hebrew and all that kind of stuff. If that's your calling, awesome. But most of us are called to just simply be Christians and to love one another. But we get called off into these theological dark holes. When I was in my 20s, I got drug off into the dark hole of once saved, always saved, or not once saved, always saved, which that's called Arminianism, if you believe you can lose your salvation, something like that. And the other one is called Calvinism. And so I studied those and I argued those. You know, when I studied the Arminianism stuff, I kind of argued in favor of it. And then I started studying the Calvinism stuff so I could refute those guys. And then I started arguing in favor of the Calvinism stuff. And it was just like crazy. The Arminianism is, I just lost his name. The guy who kind of developed that, great evangelist and theologian, Wesley, was the proponent of that and a big guy. And of course, Calvinism was Calvin. Two tremendously great men of God having such opposite views. And then for me to get drug off into a discussion of one is better than the other was like pretty stupid, you know. But that's what happens to us. We get drug off into these discussions, and that's what happened to this poor guy here. You know, the Pharisees was trying to drag him off into the discussion of who Jesus was and was he a sin, you know, and a sinner or whatever. Cause, and this guy, and this is why this passage so ministers to me, because I found myself at a time in my life where I had gotten so, I had thought I was smart, you know, and then I realized I was stupid. And so I was stuck with stupid about so many different theological issues and theological things that were just, I found out were like, what's the point? You know, because for me, it came down to this real simply. Once I was blind, but now I can see. You know, when I realized that once I was spiritually blind, but I was so not just spiritually blind, I was such a broken human being. Most people would have never given me a chance. Matter of fact, the man that became my spiritual father said of me, when one of the guys that was in the ministry before me said, well, I'm going to go pick him up and bring him down to the house for some Bible study and stuff. And he said, you're wasting your time, because that's the coldest, hardest young man I've ever seen in my life. Once that was me. But God's grace reached out and took a desperate human being, cold, narcissistic, totally self-absorbed, drug doer, drug dealer, all of that stuff, and touched that guy's life and changed it into me, who I am today. You know, I'm still no smarter, other than I try not to get golf into these crazy arguments anymore. See, all I know for sure, and I can talk with you about this point anytime, is that God loves me tremendously. And because of that love, I have a life. I want to share one other verse with you. These two verses have been life-changing verses for me since I was a young guy, because I fall back on them so many times. When I'm totally messed up by the enemy, I fall back to these two verses and quote them back. And so if you get me into a discussion and argument with you, and you're kicking my booty, so to speak, with it, I'll just fall back to this with you and tell you this. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And the other one is like, I may not know, and I may be confused, but this is what I do know. In Mark, the 9th chapter, the 23rd verse, a man comes to Jesus wanting him to heal his child. And Jesus says to him, all things are possible to him who believes. You know, sometimes I don't even believe. I don't know how to believe. I'm so messed up, confused, in such a desperate situation, I cannot tell you how many times I've been by my bed on my knees and have prayed this prayer. Immediately the father cried out and said, I do believe, help my unbelief. You know, it's just that simple, guys. Just stay with what you know that Jesus has done for you. Look at that. Concentrate. Embrace that. And the others, when you get, you know, feel like you're getting kind of beat up, just ask for Jesus to help your unbelief. If there's something that's causing you to doubt in any way, because he's willing to help you. He's looking for the opportunity for you to give him to just help you. Amen. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.